G'day folks, and welcome to Stick With It, APA's podcast for its pilots. With evidence-based training, or EBT, now part of everyday sim life, we thought it would be a good opportunity to find out how the introduction went and what to expect as it continually evolves. It appears that we didn't scare him away after the first podcast chat, so joining me today is Captain Dirk Darman. Dirk is a 380 captain and led the introduction of EBT into the Qantas training department. So welcome back, Dirk.
G'day, Mark. Thanks very much for having me again.
Good to have you here. So you survived the introduction of EBT. How would you assess how it's progressing?
It was a bit of a survival process. As you know, we're a very small team. There's really just three of us introducing EBT into Qantas mainline. And we needed a lot of things to come together in that first semester. We needed the IT to come on board. We needed crew to be accepting of perhaps having less knowledge of what was coming. We needed instructors to be trained, all that sort of stuff. But survive we did. We had one or two minor IT issues, but they were only very, very small and of no great consequence, which was fantastic. So the intent, of course, was to change the way we did our recurrent training and to make the recurrent training place a safe space and one for personal professional development for all our crew. And so in terms of how it's progressing, I think I think people are coming to terms with that and are starting to feel that it is there for them. And yeah, we've still got a lot to do. We've still got plenty of other things we want to do, which we'll talk about today. But yes, survived we have. Subject to resourcing. I've always got to get that plug in.
Well done. So last time we spoke, you talked about the benefits of EBT compared with the type of training that we'd been familiar with. Has your hopes been realised in that area?
Yes, it has, Mark. Thank you. Gratefully, the two aspects to the way the benefits have been measured. Really, we've got the safety case side of things, which obviously we won't know a lot about until safety data shows how that's progressing in the years to come. We do have some anecdotal evidence that a few of our unstable approaches are being turned into go-rounds and really well managed, which is fabulous news. But that sort of thing's going to take some time, obviously, and a few semesters of training to come about. But the other big aspect of it really is that trainees are now comfortable coming to the simulator. EPs have used for a long time a scare because we care type approach to EPs training. And I think a lot of people felt that way about their cyclics as well. And yes, we've got a regulatory requirement to acquit a lot of our stuff. But you'll remember from the previous podcast too that I jumped on you as soon as you said about our license being on the line and whatnot. And we really, you know, my main goal was to get away from that whole fear aspect of coming to the cyclic. And those benefits are really, really important to us. And the engagement of crew into their own personal development through the training of cyclics is the big benefit that I'm really after, and that's already hit the mark at this stage.
Well, that's good to hear. So have you received feedback from pilots participating in the new EBT program? What feedback are you getting?
Ton of feedback. We had some initial feedback just through emails and things, which was great, and it helped us sort out a few of the little IT glitches that we had, but we didn't really turn on the feedback in the TPMS system or the Prodefus system until mid-May. So we've had 4 months of feedback to September the 10th. 739 feedback forms have been filled out, and importantly, 375 of those have added comments as well. And overwhelmingly, those comments have been in the positive. In fact, out of the 375, I think we've had about 20 that have been in the negative space or in the let's see if we can do better space.
Yep.
So some of the quotes, and of course, it's important that you know that all the quotes are de-identified, okay? So, or all the feedback is de-identified. So some of the quotes. So I thought the scenario was very, very relevant to line operations, giving me plenty of takeaways to improve my own personal standard. Another one, a positive learning environment with relevant practical instructor input. One of my favourites. Once again, I learnt more in one EBT sim than I had in 10 years worth of cyclics. Another trainee, you walk out of an EBT session feeling capable and confident instead of just feeling to be happy to be finished as we were in the old system, a much more mature and evolved adult learning program. And the final one, a thoroughly enjoyable session of professional development. Now that's just hit the mark, you know, exactly what we're after. And I'm absolutely thrilled with that, because if people are engaged with their cyclic training, there's a massive opportunity there for us all to improve. Obviously, the intent of EBT is to equip people with the improved toolbox, you know, through the 9 competencies, so that we can face any unforeseen events as they come about. That's really the overarching concept of why evidence-based training is important. But really the other aspect is that both the instructor and the trainees are engaged in that. So that was all the good feedback. Of course, you've got to take the other feedback as well. And I'm guessing you're going to want to know what we did with that.
Oh, well, I'm interested in, I guess, you know, how do you integrate that into what you do moving forward? So, I mean, you obviously have to, you know, sort out which parts of that you want to use, but I'm just curious, has the EPT, have you, I guess, changed any of it following the feedback or integrated any of it because of the feedback?
Yeah, we have. So the way EBT is set up holistically around the world with its maneuvers training portion, and keeping in mind we're one of the first airlines to go straight to a baseline EBT system, they only include 9 maneuvers in that. And those 9 maneuvers are somewhat limiting and quite repetitive, and we didn't want to do that. We wanted to do better than that and include stuff that was really useful to crew. So some of the feedback early on, and fair enough too, was that the content was too rich. There was too much content in the available time. So what we did is we took that, we looked at the IT, and we changed the IT to allow the maneuvers training content to be spread out over both days of training. So that's already happened, and it's going to happen. The next phase of that in semester 3 will be to fully allow maneuvers training to be completed on both days.
Okay.
So there's a bit of back-end work required there for both the instructors and the IT. The study materials and the information supplements were found to be hard to source on our intranet at Qantas. So this week we've gone live, test environment at least, to put all that information on DocuNet. So all that stuff will be easy for crew to access, and they will always have the very latest information, because of course our DocuNet stuff is easily updated on our iPads. In fact, I've got it on my phone as well, so I can sort of read that stuff any time I want. So that's been, they're two great examples of where the feedback has been super useful for us to help develop our system and improve it. And we need to keep in mind too that we're now not the only, but we were certainly the first airline to include the second officers in an EBT program. And so with that seat change philosophy and whatnot, we've had to take a bit of a look at that, how we equip that training and make it flow better during the session. So that's still a work in progress. This current semester that's about halfway through, some crew have made some comments about the chopping and changing required in order to be able to do the seat changes. So that will improve also in semester 3. So, look, the feedback has been fantastic, super useful. Only one or two very negative folks, but otherwise overwhelmingly positive, and even constructively positive, which I'm really pleased about. And please, you know, well, firstly, thank you to those people. And, of course, please keep it coming, because that's how we can improve the system.
Okay, and it sounds like obviously the free text comments is particularly useful to you in terms of giving you ideas and suggestions.
Absolutely. I'm nodding furiously, because yesterday at the HOTOC direct reports meeting, I showed the training managers how that feedback can be supplied to the instructors, again, de-identified and whatnot. And it's, you know, there's a lot of really good positive stuff in there, and people need to know that they're doing the right thing. We don't have an abundance of resources, and we don't have the ability to sit in and coach all of our instructors as much as we would like to. So that sort of feedback, you know, is really great in that regard.
Okay, excellent. Common scuttlebutt out there at the moment, you know, is sort of a little bit around that the first wave of SIMS is nice and straightforward and easy, but the tidal wave is coming. Yeah. So next year, I think everyone's thinking that the difficulty level is going to be ratcheted up next year. Do you want to confirm or deny, or I guess explain maybe why you think people think that and what's actually happening in reality?
We did approach the simulator manufacturers to see if they could install a wings fall-off button, but unfortunately they weren't able to do that. Look, the scuttlebutt comes about because probably generated by what we did to our poor old instructors. So the instructors all went through 3 days of classroom training, and then they all got to experience their own simulator session. And we deliberately withheld a lot of information from that session and made it a reasonably uncomfortable but survivable session for them, so that they could see that a less than perfect performance still had a safe outcome. Yep. And validated that if you're in a safe space and there's no such thing as a dumb question and there's adult learning principles involved, then that's actually okay. So we did that quite deliberately in order to give them that reference, that frame of reference. And that's probably where it's generated from. Now, they will, as I said earlier, we did keep semester one deliberately simple because we had so many things to come together. Semester two, a bit of an exploration on diversions and that sort of thing, because that was quite topical and Fleet were quite keen in us doing that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Semester three, we'll start to introduce some malfunctions and whatnot. But really, it's not about making the sims stupidly difficult. All it's about is building that toolbox of competency so that we can use those for so-called black swan events. So no, the difficulty factor won't go through the roof. Some things will become a little bit repetitive over the years because we do need to acquit low vis, even though that has been expanded and relaxed a little bit. The things we want to do are obviously conduct the scenarios in the any of the new ports that we're flying to. So for 380 next semester, we'll be based in Johannesburg at some point, and 787 at various European ports and whatnot. So that's a great opportunity to do that sort of thing and obviously expose crew to those places before they go. But really the difficulty level doesn't need to get stupid in order for the competencies to be developed and practiced. Mm-hmm. You'll have noticed, everyone will have noticed, that the instructors are far more animated during the sim session. They're running all sorts of distraction communications with air traffic control because the simulator has always been artificially quiet. I did attend a conference recently where they talked about using artificial intelligence to generate all of that additional chatter on air traffic control, and that's starting to come about. So that might be something that comes into our simulators in the next 3 or 4 years, which would be really good for the instructors, I think, because you can put accents and all sorts of things in there. So that's really cool. No, they're not going to get stupid. We're not going to install the wings stay on, wings fall off button. And that's really not the intent at all.
Thank you. It sounds like you need Hank Azaria from The Simpsons, so you can have 15 different voices in the background while you're running your sim. But
asked recently whether that would be a safe thing to do or not in this political correct age, and we've all decided that let's just keep it fairly straight and bland. Thanks.
I think that sounds like a wise idea. So just a follow-up question. As you said, maybe in semester three, we move into the sort of the non-normal sort of situation. My understanding, I guess, with EBT is that you will look at previous incidents or examples to then, I guess, potentially drive maybe some of those non-normals that you might look at. Is that a case where you look at incidents within Qantas, or is it overseas, or do you still not necessarily pick what's happened? It's still just something that's more discussed internally as to how you come about, I guess, the scenarios that you develop.
Yeah, we'd all like the good old days of reading crash comics to be able to be reinvented for us, because we did learn a lot from that. But The E in evidence-based training, it's really competency-based training, but the terminology CBT was already taken. So the E, the evidence, is that worldwide, if we suddenly have a whole bunch of hydraulic issues, say 330, and then we do a whole bunch of hydraulic failure training, it actually doesn't achieve anything, because the next thing that goes wrong will be a fuel issue or whatever. Right. So you can't just keep cramming these incidents into sim sessions and train like crazy to cover all scenarios. But what you can do is train these core competencies. So they did a lot of work in the working group in 2007 and 2008 and came up with those nine competencies so that What we will do is absolutely look at our incidents and the incidents that other airlines are having around the world, and LOSA data, and our safety data, and drill down to the root cause of what's going on. So, for example, we're still having taxiway non-compliance issues in Melbourne and Sydney. You know, you can't sit someone in a sim and teach them to taxi for 4 hours. It's not going to achieve anything. But teaching them how to deal with distraction management, workload management, communication skills, that sort of thing, that will eventually solve your problem of taxiway non-compliance. So, and that's the same philosophy that we apply to hydraulic issues, flight control issues, overweight landings, medical issues, all those sorts of things. If you can adequately manage the workload, communicate effectively, lead a team, all that sort of stuff, then you're going to have a successful outcome, or at least a safe outcome. And that's what it's all about.
Okay. So as you said, well, yeah, CBT was taken. So that makes a bit more sense. So yeah. No, thank you for clarifying that. I think we talked last time about obviously endorsement and promotional training, you know, EBT wasn't sort of fitting in that. Is that still going to be the case in the short term, or does EBT just not work in that sort of space?
So the next part of EBT, or competency-based training, it's called CBTA, competency-based training and assessment. The next part that we'll roll out will be to command training, because of course command training sims are all about scenarios, and then command training out on the line is all scenario-based as well. Route checks are scenario-based clearly, so that would be another area that we could roll it out to. Type ratings themselves, no, they're mainly skills-based. So Airbus does incorporate the core competencies into their type ratings, and they jump around between fixed-based simulators and real simulators and classroom and whatnot. So they've taken that on board, and Boeing is also pursuing competency-based training assessment. So they'll be there mainly towards the end of the type rating and certainly during the line flying, but obviously we still need to teach all the procedures and the skills base and the technical aspects of a type rating before we can progress that process. But what they want us to do is to bring that competency stuff in just a little bit earlier than we typically would, so that we start talking about how you run the non-normals and whatnot sort of halfway through the training, rather than just at the end and then let you loose into the sim phase of the training.
Okay. We've talked a bit about, you know, as you said, you're after the feedback. So is the best way for the feedback from that email that you get following your actual cyclics, or is there other ways that people can also provide feedback if they need to?
Yeah, we still have the Yammer page. Not a lot of people going there, which kind of suits me because I'm not a real Yammer person, but that's okay. Or I'm not a social media person. But no, look, the feedback process at the end of your training sessions is great, and that's fabulous. So it creates a lot of work, but it's really good work. I love going through that. And the other one is the email, ebtfeedback@qantas.com.au. So if you send an email there, it comes to Ross Domey and myself, and we deal with situations that are probably more live and ready. Certainly when we start off a semester and there are little typos here and there, we do our very, very best to put out material without typos and with relevant TAF times and whatnot. I think people are starting to recognise that that's just not possible and plausible when you've got four fleets times two because of the different ranks, although not on the 7-3, and then all the different variables that go into a particular cyclic. But yeah, no, I really appreciate that feedback coming through.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier just the DocuNet thing. Look, we're recording this in late September. What's the time frame, do you think, before that will be actually available to line crews to access via DocuNet?
Yeah, so it's late September. It's footy season and school holidays. So some of the people that are dealing with that have just gone literally on leave today.
Right.
But I've already got access to it, so it's just a matter of making it go live. We've put the training supplements in there and a whole bunch of other stuff. So probably in the next 2 weeks. So what's that? Put it to the first week of October, something like that. Everyone will know it because when they hit the DocuNet update, it'll download all that sort of stuff, and there'll be a bigger update the first time round. We do need to put a whole bunch of material on there. A lot of people have asked for, okay, you've told me I'm no good at, or not no good, you've told me I could improve in leadership and teamwork, so where's the material that I can read about that? Mm-hmm. And we absolutely recognise that we need to need to provide that material again. The resource plug, thank you. that's where all of that will be, so that it's a nice, easy place to reference going forward.
Okay. Well, I suspect given that the turnaround on this is only a couple of weeks, so probably by the time this is released to the crews, it should be live. And as you said, I guess the main thing is you'll see a fairly big upload dump on the on DocuNet to indicate that it's there for them.
Absolutely.
Dirk, I was just interested, you said with regard to, you know, you've already had a couple of sort of unstable approaches result in a go-round and obviously a safe or the preferred outcome. Can you give us a bit more context, I guess, into that relationship of training and how that sort of flows into, I guess, the wider flight ops thing in terms of closing loops and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. So clearly, you know, at the bottom of this or at the base of all of this, we want to talk about safety. So the way the system really works is that fleet set policy. We then in the training department train that policy. And then every 4 weeks, there's a safety data review meeting and there's obviously LOSA audits throughout the year, route checks, cyclics, all that sort of thing, where we can essentially check that the policy is being adhered to or not, as the case may be. And then that circle comes back to fleet to say, well, this is or is not working. So the bit about unstable approaches, they're a real focus item of evidence-based training because worldwide we still have 97% of unstable approaches being flown to a landing, continue to a landing. So that's a massive focus. But that's kind of how that closed loop works. That's the intent of it. The trick that we've got moving forward is to make sure that the LOSA audit and the safety data review data and our own cyclic training data sort of speaks EBT competency speak, if you like. Mm-hmm. It all needs to be translated into that so that we can then in further semesters target the competencies that will best enable safe outcomes. So in a perfect world, we would go therefore to what's called an enhanced EBT cyclic system. No one in the world does that because it's really hard to translate that data into competencies. And it may be that we get some AI down the track that can help us with that. But at least at a more basic level, that's absolutely what we do. And then we sit down with fleet and say, what would you like us to focus on? What are the things that are showing up? We sit down with Deb and her team and do the same. And that's the point of it. Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay, that's a really interesting perspective. So thank you very much. Well, look, I think that's mainly it. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the discussion or any other sort of key messages you wanted to get out to the crews before we wrap up today, Dirk?
I'd like to very much thank the captain who came down and found me on a recent return from a holiday. I'd never met this person in my life, and it turns out he'd been in Qantas about the same time as me. We had a bit of small talk, and then he said, Dirk, thank you so much for introducing EBT. I'm not scared of doing my cyclics anymore. So that was a real moment for me. And I'd like to thank James Roston and May Thu for all their really, really long hours and hard work in getting this going and keeping it going, because of course cyclics reappear every 6 months. And I'd like to thank the instructors for embracing it. It's been a big change for some instructors, and as we all know, we're in a massive period of change at the moment, so we've got a lot of new instructors. So and I really appreciate their efforts in making EBT real, and of course then also the line crew for, you know, being accepting that some people are taking some time to develop their techniques and get on with delivering EBT in the best way that they possibly can. And Mark, obviously to APA for being supportive. APA's been integral to all of this going forward. There've been zero barriers, some healthy discussions, particularly in the beginning, which was fantastic. And I think that sort of collaboration is fantastic. It's in the spirit of EBT too, which of course was signed off by IFALPA as well as ICAO and IATA. So I think that's great. We're all here to try and make sure we're as safe as we possibly can. Hopefully, as we move forward, that spirit of cyclics not being a scary moment for anyone will continue. And so thanks to everyone for making it happen.
Well, I'm happy to say, having returned from a month overseas, being a loudmouth at the Ashes straight into my first Cyclix on the 737, I was slightly scared, but I'm pleased to say I did walk out very satisfied and had learnt something. So if it can help me even in that way, it must be helping everyone else. So thanks very much for that as well. And look, yeah, thanks, Dirk, for your time. Bro. Yeah, thank you very much. Look, it's, again, been great to talk to you. Again, maybe we can pencil in another one down the track just to see how it goes, because obviously the training program is only getting more chaotic, probably not less. So we can maybe catch up at another time. But no, thanks very much, Dirk. And as I said, if to our listeners, if you've got any feedback for us for the podcast, please get in contact with us at members@apa.org.au. We've put podcasts in the subject line. But in the meantime, we will have another podcast for you soon. But to all of our members out there, fly safe and stick with it.